Women Read Book Club was started 25 years ago by longtime Capital Region resident and friend Deborah Johnson. Deborah's vision was and still is to enlarge our lives by reading books authored by women from diverse backgrounds. As a member for 22 years, my life has been greatly enriched by the books we read and our thought-provoking two-hour discussions. Every once in a while, we're treated with a visit by the author of the book that we read that month. This past December, we had that opportunity when we read We Who Believe in Freedom by well-known criminal justice advocate Alice Payton Green. Alice's sharing at our meeting added so much. So when Deborah Johnson let us all know that Alice Green would be talking last month about her second memoir, Outsider, at the Writers Institute presentation at Albany Public Library, I knew I wanted to hear more. Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Marcia Lazarus, sitting with Dr. Alice Payton Green. Thank you so much, Alice, for accepting my invitation for this interview and the opportunity to learn more. Alice, I understand that in July 2021, you were inducted into the Essex Literary Wall of Fame at the Belden Noble Library in Essex, New York. That sounds like quite an honor. You know, I know you talked in the book about when you were a young girl wanting so much to be seen and appreciated for all your abilities and as an equal human being. And I wondered if that recognition and all of your accomplishments, if that has made you, if you have felt more seen and recognized by the community up in the Adirondacks or your old friends or neighbors.
I'm sure, you know, people I grew up with, they probably heard about me because some of them do contact me when they a book comes out. They'll say, oh my gosh, thank you for writing that book, or I remember you, or something like that. So I have had that. But I get my awards and rewards from other places. Like yesterday, when I was with the students at Northern Rivers, you know, we had just the greatest conversation about writing, and I'm trying to inspire them to write. These are troubled kids, you know. And as I was getting ready to leave after the session, this young girl came up to me, and she handed me this piece of paper, folded over, and opened it up. She said the nicest things about, I'm so glad you came and shared your experiences with us, and I'm inspired to write, and I hope you come back again. It's been so wonderful to have you here and all that kind of stuff, you know. This is really touching. Those are the kind of awards I probably appreciate more than the others. You know, I mean, I'm appreciative. I've gotten a number of them, but it's the ones that like that that are very special to me. You know, I feel like it really comes from the heart. You just,
I was struck by your comment in the book at the funeral parlor.
I think that was when my dad died.
And I heard so much pride in your words. It is the history of a remarkable family whose members had struggled to be recognized as an integral part of a community that was not always welcoming. Do you feel that your accomplishments, the fact that you have been recognized, brings recognition to your parents and your family?
That's a difficult one because I wish my parents could have been around longer. I always wish they could see what has happened with their children. I think they would be really proud. As I said, we were a close-knit family and we suffered together. And then we were able to, because of that closeness and support, we were all able to go our own ways, but, you know, accomplish, I think, remarkable things. Like my brother Ralph, you know, has a stadium named after him down in D.C., Maryland area. because he was, I can't believe how well received he was, and how people looked up to him, and he was just incredible. He was a football coach and very recognized for his work with kids. You know, not just that he was a good coach, but he really gave a lot to his kids off the, you know, off the field, and they had such respect for him. So we all did pretty much what we would consider successful in whatever we took on. And I think that's what they struggled for. I wish they could have seen how we all turned out.
The fruits of their labor.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So,
wow.
So I think about them all the time. They were the rock. So and poverty, we experienced poverty, but
poverty of love.
Not of love at all. So that's the thing I'm most thankful for.
You talk about there's been much done to fight racial discrimination in the Adirondacks, but you question whether people have really get the definition or the meaning of true inclusion. You talk about oftentimes it's a numbers game and it's not real inclusion. Mm-hmm. What does true inclusion look like in a community, in a society?
Yeah, it's really very simple, but difficult to achieve. I believe that until we can repair the damage that's been done, for instance, the way we talk about slavery, we say, people were enslaved, and then in 1865, now you got civil rights and all of that. But they don't understand the true impact it has on your psyche, your thinking. I was socialized to believe that whites were superior to me.
Was there a particular experience, or was it moving away from Witherbee that helped you kind of dismantle that belief or buy into it?
Oh, it's something that you constantly have to deal with. I mean, I've been able to overcome much of it. I do believe I am equal, but probably not the way that I would have hoped, because it's been so ingrained in me, and it happens every day. If it doesn't happen to me personally, it happens to somebody else. But there are so many ways that we can heal and repair. We're developing a project now to try to do that. Brian Stevenson has a great way of doing it. He said you got to experience it in some way so that you can understand. The one thing that happened, I don't know if you caught it, I did, at the library, was somebody asked me about the trunk, because I explained that the trunk was, you know, our lifeline almost, and how important it was in my family. And then when my parents died, it just sort of, it was so depressing to me that I just sort of left everything. And the trunk got destroyed. And when I said that, I heard people say, they gasped. They said, oh my gosh. They were feeling. To me, that was so important, for you to connect with something and be able to feel it. Lynching was not just lynching. It was destroying people, and not only the person who was lynched, but their families.
And it was a celebratory occasion.
Right,
for
exactly.
Whites together.
Exactly. They had picnics there, and police officers, law enforcement helped. It was horrible. And so what I'm trying to get people to do is to feel that. I might take, different pieces from different films. I have about six films that focus on the kidnapping, Middle Passage, and also the words from people who actually were enslaved. So I wanted to put, you know, different pieces together. It could be filmed, and it's having this community discussions. So I'm trying to dig deep into people and say, you got to feel. Because if you can't feel for me, you can't accept me. I want people to feel the way I felt about the Jewish Holocaust. When I see people being put on trains and taken to be killed, it hurts me deep. I can feel it.
Yeah. Okay. So feel, you're talking about feeling in order to take action, really.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And to accept feeling and to understand who I am.
Marcia Lazarus talking with Dr. Alice Payden Green.